So the first scripture I want you to turn with me, guys, is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. And I just want to ask everybody to give me their attention. If, you know, for any reason there's anything that is distracting you, please, please open your heart and don't let the Spirit of God bypass you, or don't be unreceptive to Him, because God wants to really speak to each one of us on this point this day. Chapter 3, verse 11. Now, in this, the context is that in the church at Corinth, they had a problem. Well, they had problems, not only a single problem. One of the problems that they have in the church of Corinth was they were pretty divided. They were pretty kind of factional. They had different parties. So one would say, I belong to Apollos, who was just a minister. Another would say, I belong to Paul, who was another minister. And another would say, I belong to Jesus. So there were these divisions among them. So these divisions among them caused factions to happen. And in these factions, and in between these factions, Paul comes in, he wades in into this argument. And let's look at verse 11 first of chapter 1. Verse 11 of chapter 1 says, "For it has been reported to me about you, my brothers, by members of Chloe's household, that there is rivalry among you." And there were so divisions, so it was rivalry among them. And then Paul wades in and he says, in the midst of this rivalry and competition that went on in the church, the apostle, he comes in with an essential truth that they need to correct their views. He's correcting their view with one essential truth. With this essential truth, he's hitting the mark and making sure that their views are aligned with God's truth. And he says in chapter 3, verse 11, this is what he says, "For no one can lay any other foundation than what has been laid. That foundation is Jesus Christ." That's what he says. Are you with me, everybody? "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ." There is no other foundation. He's making a categorical statement here. A very clear statement. It's not Peter, it's not Paul, it's not Apollos. He's saying that there's only one foundation that you as a church are founded on, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. No other foundation can be laid other than that Him. Any other foundation is fake. And I want us to really look at our own lives today. Our own lives today. Because this is something that's very, very important. And this foundation that Paul is talking about in the New Testament is actually one foundation that God has been talking about throughout the Old Testament as well. Turn with me to Isaiah 28, verse 16. Isaiah 28, verse 16. I'm going to give you a little bit of background here, that as God is speaking to His people in Judah and in Samaria, and context is very important. A friend of mine says this, a text, he says, without context is a pretext to say whatever you like. So it's very important that we have context in place. And what's happening is God is speaking into the nation of Judah and Samaria, and what he's trying to do here is that he's trying to tell them what they are doing or what they're engaged in is something that is going to lead to death. Because he is now speaking to them and says to them in verse 16, because they had stopped trusting in him. They had stopped trusting in him, and what they did was they started to trust in the governments around them. So they make pacts. So they'd go to Assyria and make a pact with Assyria. They'd go to another country, Egypt, and make a pact with Egypt. They would make a pact with the Philistines because they somewhat did not trust God. Somewhat they found God to be unreliable, not trustworthy. They were looking to others for their destinies, for their welfare, for their future. They were looking and hoping others, even their crooked ways, would get them the best in life, would get them to benefit what they wanted. And God speaks into that situation. And as God does in the Old Testament very frequently, he speaks into a local situation. But what he says into that local situation is far, far reaching than that local situation. So this is what God says to the people in that situation at that time. Okay, verse 16. Therefore, the Lord God said, look, I have laid a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone. The one who believes will be unshakable. I'm going to read it one more time. I have laid for you, therefore the Lord God said, look, I have laid a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. The one who believes will be unshakable. And God is telling them that he is going to lay. He said, I have laid a tested stone. He said, in Zion, it's a tested stone. It's not something that God does not put stuff that, you know, may or may not work. Whenever God acts, whenever God says something, it is sure, it is certain, it is absolute. And this is what God is saying to them. He says, I have placed in Zion, he says, a tested stone. A stone that he knows is going to work. A test that he knows that's going to withstand, and a stone that he knows that's going to withstand anything that rests on it. And what he continues to describe this stone and says, I have laid a tested stone, a precious cornerstone. And this stone, this cornerstone that God says he's laying or he's laid in Zion, is also precious. It really is. And he says it's a sure foundation. A sure foundation. God does not work on probabilities. He never has. Probability is something that we work on. God is saying that this stone that he has laid in Zion is a tested stone, a precious stone, and the one who believes, a sure foundation, and the one who believes will not be shaken, is what God is saying. And the whole point about this stone is, of course, Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 2 tells us that it refers to Jesus. Jesus himself tells us in the Gospels that it refers to him. And Jesus says that the stone the builders rejected, which he refers to this cornerstone and to himself, is the stone that God has chosen. And I want to ask you, what have you made the foundation of your life? Very often as Christians, what we do is we put Jesus as the foundation for our life in heaven. But we fail to realize that he's the cornerstone and the foundation for our life here and now. And because we fail to realize that, what happens is that we actually lose out. Jesus is not only the foundation for our future eternal life, but our life here and now, today. Jesus is the foundation for our life now, guys, for what you're doing now. Where is your foundation? What are you building your life on? What are you building your life on? Is it your education? Which is good. Nothing against it. Is it some wealth? Is it some inheritance? Is it even establishments that you are establishing your life on, that you are founding your life on? Because Jesus is not only the foundation for our future, guys, but he is the foundation for our lives now. I want you to really, really look at that as I mention 4 points where you can apply that in your life. Jesus, you have to make Jesus the foundation. Because only when you do that, this is what the word says. See, it says, look, I have laid a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. The one who believes will be unshakable. He will be unshakable. Whatever comes is not going to shake him. whatever happens is not going to shake him because his foundation is not on anything else but a tested stone, a sure foundation, a precious cornerstone. If you put your foundation on that, if you put your life on that, if you establish your life on that cornerstone, which is tested, which is sure, which is precious, guys, you will be unshakable. If not, with every storm, with every event, with every historic occurrence, you'll find yourself shaking. You'll find yourself turning left and right and wondering what's happening. But God is calling you to actually build your lives on this cornerstone, on this tested stone, on this precious and sure foundation. It's your call, though. It's your call. It's not anyone else's call. It's your call where you build your life. Everything that we do that is legitimate, that can propel us into God's destiny in our lives, our education, our networks, our connections, they're good. But you don't build your life on them. You'll find that you will be not only shaken, but floored if you build your life on them. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 23-24, if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, Jesus talks about, at the end of his Sermon on the Mount, which is from chapter 5 to 7, Jesus talks about, he concludes by talking about two foundations. This is what he says from 24 to 27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and pounded that house. Guys, it pounded the house, yet it didn't collapse because its foundation was on the rock. That rock is what saved that house. On the outside, that house was the same as the second house I'm going to read about. But what saved that house was not what's on top, but what was there on the foundation. God is calling you guys to lay your life, to establish your life on this foundation. Jesus is the cornerstone, and he is the foundation for our not only our eternal life and security, but for our life here and now. We need to build our lives on him. He is the sure foundation, the tested stone, the precious cornerstone that is going to ensure that we are unshakable. You will only be unshakable if you are on the right foundation. Verse 26. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew and pounded that house, and it collapsed. And its collapse was great, is what Jesus says. Those of us who listen to Christ's word, but do not act on them. That's what it's important. He says, the man who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. We need to act on Christ's words. We need to act on Christ's word. It's good that we're listening. It's good that we're coming here. It's good that we are, you know, reading and communicating with God. It's good that we get together in cells. But we need to act on them. That is how we build our foundation. Your foundation is only secure when you act on what you hear. But that requires your personal action, your personal decision. It's your call. I'm going to whiz through 4 points in practical terms. How does making Jesus our foundation actually work in our lives? What does it really mean? How do we achieve that? 4 points, I'm going to actually whiz through them, as I said. The first one is, make sure that you are continually rooted and growing in Christ. Make sure that you are rooted and continually growing in Christ. Colossians chapter 2 verse 6 says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you are taught. He says, as you have received Christ Jesus, walk in him, rooted and built up in him. So the first thing that you need to do is to make sure that you're personally, that you're being continually growing and rooted in him. That's the first thing that you need to do, guys. First thing, that you personally are growing and continually growing and being rooted in him. As I said, it's a personal choice, a personal responsibility. All the church does is make it possible. All the body of the church does is make it possible. And for some of us, it will mean reevaluating our priorities, guys. It will mean, you know, what is worth my time? What is worth my effort? Watching the next YouTube clip or sitting down and communing with God? What is worth my time? Is my time worth those endless, you know, videos that I watch, the films that I want to catch up with, or communing with God? If you don't make those distinctions and decisions, you're failing to continually root and build yourself in Christ. That's the number one thing that we need to do if we are going to have our lives established on this foundation that is precious, that is tested, and that is sure. Second thing that you need to do, you need to proactively grow your dependence and reliance on God and not on systems of this world. And how do we do that? Number one, it's communing with God, walking with God, personally having that connection with God regularly. That personal devotion. Dedicated study of God's word. We do it in cells, but I want to encourage you to do it individually as well. It's as you go deeper in God's word that your trust in him increases. Your reliance in him becomes rock solid. You don't look to establishments or systems to do things for you. You look to God, and he works through establishments and systems to do what he has purposed to do in your life. But you need to get deeper into God's word. And as I said several weeks back, you need to start processing the word of God at a deeper level, guys. At a deeper level, not just superficially, not on a shallow level. The other thing that we need to do is be committed to the fellowship that God has placed you in this church, in youth cells. Number three, develop a lifestyle that ensures that a shift to another foundation cannot happen. How does that lifestyle come about? Develop a lifestyle that ensures that you don't shift to another foundation, that you're stayed and hooked and solidly on that foundation. I'll just make a few points. The first one is choose your crowd and your company very carefully, guys. Very, very carefully. Choose who you hang out with very carefully, guys. Very, very carefully. And I'm speaking on God's behalf today. I will dare to say that because I know that that is the truth. Choose your crowd and company very carefully. Who you hang out with. I believe environment is everything. It can make or break you. It can lead to your destiny and success or spell your ruin. Choose who you hang out with very carefully. Second thing, make the right decisions in your life with God's counsel. Don't make major decisions without counseling, without getting to God and asking the Lord, you know, is this what you want me to do? Don't be casual about major decisions in your life. Take God's counsel. And when you do that, you develop a lifestyle that ensures that you don't shift to another foundation. Nati shared with us some months back the importance of looking and, you know, we need to look to God and hear him when we want to make moves in our lives. The final one I want to say, set your foundation on Christ by determining not to let the world, but the word to shape and define your value system and run your life. You have to actively resist the world. Actively resist it. But you won't be able to actively resist it unless you have the word inside of you. And that's why Paul says, you know, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Actively resist the world's value system. Yesterday I met someone who works in a place that I used to work in many, many years ago. And she was telling me how in that place, like she says, it's such a dark place, she says, that everybody will kind of walk over you to get where they want to get. Everybody can do things to you. It's a retail sector. The retail sector is very ruthless. And I'm sure the other sectors are not very different. But she worked in retail. You have to make a decision to not be like them. You have to make a decision to not adopt their value system. You have to make a decision to resist the world, not to let the world to shape and define your value system, but God's word. That's when Jesus, when he preached the Sermon on the Mount from chapter 5 to chapter 7, you know what he did? He actually preached a whole sermon. And in that sermon, he set a totally new standard of life. A totally new standard of life. He also turned what they had known until that time, he turned it upside down. He said, you have heard, you know, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. He said, no, you don't go down that road anymore. Jesus is teaching, and the word is what God wants you to use to shape your value system. And I told this sister who works there yesterday, one of the things that happened to me was, because everybody lied all around to get their way. And one day, the senior buyer of my department asked me to lie on his behalf. I told him, don't ever ask me to lie. He's the senior buyer. He could have fired me on that day. But you know what happened instead? I earned his respect. I earned his respect. So whenever the other guys wanted to actually get something out of the buyer, they would say, oh, go tell Ephraim. You know, whatever Ephraim says, Matthew's going to do it. We need to allow, guys, set your foundation on Christ by determining not to let the world define your value system, but God's word. That's what Jesus says when he said, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. We want to be those people who build our houses on the rock. On that rock, on that tested stone, on that precious cornerstone, on that sure foundation that will guarantee you unshakability. The call, however, is yours. Let's pray. Therefore, the Lord God said, look, I have laid a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. The one who believes will be unshakable. Father, we want to thank you that in your mercy, you call us again to come back to that precious cornerstone, to that tested stone, to that sure foundation, to your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you because you are a God of second chances. Lord, I pray that each one of us would turn our backs on this world, resist the ways of this world, and establish our lives on this stone, Lord, that you have laid in Zion, on this stone that is tested, that is sure, and that is precious. Lord, thank you for calling us back to this foundation. In a world where everything is shaking, in a world where everything is being shaken, Lord, you guarantee us unshakability when we put our faith and our trust and establish our lives on this stone that you have laid in Zion. Thank you for this truth. The one who believes will be unshakable. Lord, may your grace help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.